Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Our culture is disintegrating.
It's time.
I think
pass
they could
the
give
salt.
Us a new name.
Time.
I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey,
you know why it's disintegrating?
Because
we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
We need salt
pass
over here.
It's time. Our culture is
disintegrating.
I think they
like to share crazy what's going on in here. My lives and up and running. We're rolling here.
And seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, Spencer, I just sent you that link that you have to go down to the bottom of that email I just sent you, and there's an attachment down there that you can use. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We have a little bit of a discussion before we went. My wife got me a birthday shirt today, so I'm wearing it. I guess it's probably after the show we did on Friday. I'm all in. Matthew 19:26. I'm all in, all right? What's it say? Matthew, let me check it out. I just want to make sure I quote it right. Matthew 19:26 says, the servant, therefore, no, that's 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm all in.
Amen.
I'm all in. I think all things are still possible. In fact, we have a little bit of a discussion before we got rolling here today. You know, black, I trimmed my beard a little bit today. That gray beard. Still got hairs, and that falls on a black shirt, right? Oh, man. Purpose of life. We're having a little bit of a discussion. That's not what I'm going to talk about today, but what's the purpose of life? Because it popped up here, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1 is a question we ought to all ponder. You get that real quick, Spence? Again, folks, this is just off the top of the head, so bear with me here a second as the Holy Spirit pulls these thoughts together for me. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. I don't know how you get away from this. I really don't know. It says, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth.
Amen.
So in other words, the day of your death is better than the day of one's birth. That's pretty profound, folks. That's pretty profound. When we think how hard we cling to life and things we do with life, and that Joel Osteen's been telling us it's about our best life now, and everybody's doing everything they can to enhance this life on this earth in many ways through material blessings, joy things. And I'm not a bah humbug, we're not supposed to have any fun in this life kind of guy. I enjoy life. Not looking to die anytime soon. Love my wife, my family. Love what I do. Love my grandkids. Love the impact we're having. But the Bible says it's more glorious when I die. And when I was born. That's one to swallow right there. Now, I don't know about you. I've been born again. So the same guy that was born, of course, the day of my death would be better, because when I was born, I was on my way to hell. If you believe the doctrine of original sin and born into sin and all that stuff. I'm not going to get into that theological discussion. But if I was born into sin and then I received Jesus, certainly the day of the death is better than my day of my birth. No doubt about it. No death wish here, not looking to die, not celebrating death. But really, for the life of me, I don't know why we fear it so much. The Bible tells us that it's held us back. Fear of death, our whole life's held us back. See if you can find that for me, Spencer. I want you to see the scripture. Because sometimes, you know, you just grab nuggets out of scriptures. I just type in somewhere, I no longer have fear of death. You won't find it in Bible Gateway, I don't think. Because Jesus destroyed our fear of death. We're supposed to destroy. Anybody know where that is? Any good Bible scholars out there know where that is? Where he destroyed death. He destroyed the fear of death. The men, their whole lives were subject, prisoners to fear. Fear of death. And Jesus destroyed that. There it is. Now, is that it? Therefore, since the children, Jesus heard you answer, not been able to believe. No, it'd be one of the Gospels.
No,
there it is. Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2:15. Go to real quickly if you can to Hebrews, Spencer. Sorry, folks, I'm just kind of running on empty, not running on full, actually. Hebrews 2, it's not Hebrews, but I get you, man. Hebrews 2, verse 15. Hey, Spence, if you can, go back to about 13. See if we can pull that up. Hey, I like to verify. Trust, but verify. I want you to know the talk what I say. Sing, I will declare thy name unto my brothers. In the midst of the church will I sing unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, he was flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime in jail.
Yes.
That is so clear, isn't it? That is so clear. Now, see, there's a difference between not wanting to die and fearing death. Those aren't the same thing. I don't want to die. I'm not afraid of it. So does that make sense? But I think you run into the average Christian you come in contact with. I think they fear death. I think they fear it.
Definitely.
And we fall back to what we said in just in Ecclesiastes. If you're in the Lord and the Lord's in you, it's greater than the day you were born. I often use this illustration of I have two pregnant daughters, a daughter and a daughter-in-law. Of course, Maggie just gave birth. The two of them, they're due within 2 days of each other, actually. And you think of that little baby that's lying in that womb. That little baby doesn't want to be disturbed by birth. That baby is so happy in there. It's warm. Temperature is always the same. Gets food when he needs it. Doesn't even have to go with the trouble going to the bathroom. Just kind of laying in there, just kind of loving life. And all of a sudden, this amazing thing happens, and this earthquake starts inside that little womb, and boom, water bursts, and all of a sudden, that thing, what the heck is going on? And slides out of there. Wow, pops out into this new world. I keep seeing little Declan, my little grandson. His eyes pop open every day, the new things that are going on around him. He came to our Thanksgiving celebration. There were 35 of us in there. All the different sounds, all the voices. His eyes were just spinning, listening to all that. Do you think he'd want to go back inside his mom's womb? Do you think little Declan would want to crawl back inside his mom? That's what death's going to be like, in my opinion. Death is just processing into a new life. It's passing through this womb to another birth, a new birth. Born again. Boy, we fear it, don't we? I don't fear it. What was that rock song? It's not that he's afraid of death. It's not dying that he's afraid of. It's just the thought of being dead. I ain't dead. I ain't gonna be. How did I get on this today? I'll get off of it here. I promise you. Getting off of it right now. Hey, I got a couple really some big news things to do that I want to talk about here real quick before we get going. It's funny because Craig, with all the zeros, got a hold of me. Texted me yesterday, and he said, "Coach, you understand? Do you know that the Roe versus Wade case has been sent to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is in Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, if you can pull up, Spencer, overturn Roe. Click on that for me. I'm going to show you something here, folks. So here's what's going on. Let's just read this so I keep you up to date. Because I want some of you to join me in Dayton on the 1st. I think it's Wednesday. Let me show you here. Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization is the most important abortion case to come before the U.S. Supreme Court in more than a decade. Legal scholars on both sides of the abortion debate believe this could be the case that finally overturns Roe. We hear that all the time, don't we? This will be the case. This, well. But anyway, this case concerns the Gestational Age Act, which is a law enacted by Mississippi in 2018 that bans abortion after 15 weeks. which would bring Mississippi law into conformity with the abortion laws of nearly every developed country. The law was challenged in federal court, has never been enforced in Mississippi. In May of 2021, the Supreme Court agreed to review the case, and in September, they set a December 1st hearing date. That's Wednesday. A final ruling of the case is expected in the spring of 2022. Three outcomes are possible, folks. The Supreme Court could agree with the lower courts and strike down Mississippi's Gestational Age Act. This result is considered unlikely because if this is what the court intended to do, it could have declined to hear the case, leaving the lower court injunction in place, blocking the law. So the court could just refuse to hear it, but that's probably not what they're going to do because they could just say, well, we're not going to hear it. If they refused to hear it, then the lower court would stay. With me? Number two, the Supreme Court could uphold the Mississippi law in full or in part without overturning Roe versus Wade. And to do this, they would have to replace the legal reasoning of Roe versus Wade and the later Planned Parenthood versus Casey rulings with another foundation for legal abortion. And number three, the Supreme Court could overturn Roe versus Wade, returning the issue to the states, which probably is what's going to happen at some point. Mississippi's law would go into effect and other states would be free to limit abortion more broadly than has been possible until now, possibly even banning it. Meanwhile, several states have already enacted laws keeping legal abortion intact in the event that Roe is overturned. Okay, so here's what's going on. So when the Biden administration appealed to the court, Supreme Court, the federal courts, to appeal this Mississippi decision, it went into like a lottery, and they drew out which court was going to hear it. And the court that they drew out that was going to hear it is the one in Cincinnati, Ohio. Pretty conservative court, actually. That case is going to be heard December 1st. Okay, Spencer, if you can, pull up Citizens Free Press breaking Biden asked six. Pull that up here for me. Yep. Boy, he's clicking them all here this morning, folks. It's the second one down. Second one down, Spence. There we go. So here's what happened. Biden asked the sixth court to immediately lift ban on vaccine. Oh, that's different. That's something different. I'm sorry. I didn't read it before I put it in. Anyway, so I'm going to go. Michelle and I are going to try to go. What about all those Kentucky people down there? All of you that are within a day's drive. Spencer, pull up. I think I just sent. I sent you the.
Hey Coach.
That latest. Yeah, Craig, go ahead.
So the one that's being heard in Cincinnati, okay, is I'm not sure about the Roe versus Wade. That might be being held in Washington D.C. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that angle of it. The one that's being held in Cincinnati is the outcome because of the Fifth Circuit Court's decision about mandatory vaccines over 100 people in that was decided and
so I'm all messed up here this morning. There's two of them going on.
Right. So what they did is the Biden administration didn't like the outcome of the Fifth Circuit.
I got you.
So somehow
got
they
you.
Got a lottery going. I don't understand, you know, and they took it and it landed on the Sixth Circuit Court. But this has to do with the mandatory vaccines, which will be required January 4th. And
all right.
OSHA.
All right, friends. So listen, disregard first 14 minutes till I check on this. Okay. There are two hearings that are going on, Craig. That's what's messing me up. The two hearings that are going on in Cincinnati. And I'm going to have to do some more research. I got them convoluted in my own mind there. So pardon me for that. Act like I never said any of that. I will get to the bottom of it and we'll let you know tomorrow. Okay. Is that good enough, folks? We all good at that? Cool. I want you to see Dr. Lee Merritt and Dr. Carrie Madej. Can you pull that up, Spence? Please. An Eventbrite thing. Just giving you guys all a heads up. There we go. Is that it? Is that it? Yes. All right. Those of you in the Cleveland area, Cleveland, Ohio area. In fact, tomorrow morning, we're going to have on our show as a guest either Dr. Lee Merritt or Dr. Carrie Madej. Not sure exactly which one having to do with their travel restrictions, not travel restrictions, but they're traveling to Cleveland, Ohio tomorrow. Both of them are. And here's what's going on. It's about an event that's going on in Cleveland. So those of you up in that area, you might want to go to it. Join Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Kerry Madej, Attorney Robert Owens, and Tom Renz for answers to your questions on COVID prevention, treatments, and legal mandates. Are you aware of the current treatments for COVID designed to keep you out of the hospital? How do you find local medical practitioners, pharmacies who use effective treatments? How do you avoid vaccine mandates from schools and employers? Do you know your constitutional civil rights that preserve health freedom? Please share this invite with like-minded people. So there it is. Now, again, either Lee Merritt, Dr. Lee Merritt, or Dr. Kerry Madej going to be on with us tomorrow. Not sure which one yet. Going to firm that up this afternoon. But that event is at the Church on the North Coast, Valley View, 7635 Granger Road, Cleveland, Ohio. It's free, but you have to order a ticket. Donations are accepted. Of course, donations are always accepted. Cool. Got that? I want to make sure that you guys know that one of the doctors is going to be on with us tomorrow. By the way, Tom Renz. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Attorney Tom Renz. See if you can, Spencer, just see if you can type in there Attorney Tom Renz and see what you come up with. Because I think it's important for all of you to know out there that the ChristianRevolution.net has given almost, at the end of this month, we will have given nearly $80,000 to Tom Renz's legal efforts. That the ChristianRevolution.net is helping to fund all this pushback against the medical jabs, all that stuff. We haven't been blowing our horn much about that, but we're actively involved with it. Nothing comes up there, Spencer. I left you hanging on that one. So I apologize for that. All right. Cool. Man, oh, man. Come on in, Myra, then Teresa.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing? I give praises and glory to our Father. December 1st, which is a Wednesday, the Dobbs versus Jacksonville Supreme Court will hear the case. So I'll be there. I plan to be there. Anyone in Washington, D.C. can attend the event. Thank you.
You think that's in D.C., Craig? Is that right? Is it in D.C.? The Supreme Court's not hearing that, are they? Yes,
it's the Supreme Court in D.C. It's going to be held there.
All right.
Yes, it is, D.C.
All right. Shame on me for being so stupid this weekend. Anyway,
thanks, I'll be Myra. There with Myra, Coach.
Craig will be there with Myra. Anybody else up in that area, they'll be there. Thank you guys for being there. Represent us. Teresa, come on in.
That group you were talking about that's going to be in Cleveland, aren't they going to be in Medina and the Ohio Freedom Fighters on Wednesday?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, very good, Teresa. Good catch. They're doing it two nights in a row. The second night, Sherry Tenpenny will be with them. The first night, she will not be with them. So we'll find out more about that tomorrow. But I'm just telling you guys that you can get this on your calendar. Tuesday and Wednesday, they're going to be together. Cool. Trying to keep everybody up and running. What else do I have? Anybody? Jump in there. Go to the group real quick. Come on in. I want to show you that. Oh, listen. This is this will become a
thing. Missouri event, Coach. Missouri event.
Thank you, Chad. Folks, this weekend I'm going to be in Missouri. Love for you to be there. Spencer, go to our schedule if you could, man. I'm sorry. God, I'm all over the place. Listen, I'm not doing a very good Rush Limbaugh job today. We're doing on this Saturday. We're going to be in, actually, it's almost Arkansas, Missouri, Faith and New Hope Church. It's right there. Click on that. You don't have to. New Faith and New Hope Church, Saturday, December 4th, Sunday, December 5th, noon till 5 on Saturday, 10:45 on Sunday. And we're gonna raise up a good little salt and light brigade there. Kevin Van Store is in charge of it. If you guys are close to Oklahoma, whatever would be around it, get down there, man. Come and join us, and let's help Kevin get this this thing up and rolling. Kevin, anything to say about this? Is he in here with us today? No, yes, no. Anyway, biggie. And don't forget, the next weekend, the 10th and 11th, Michelle's having her Women's Warrior Weekend. It's only $15. That's just to buy you got y'all some food. That's for women to get together and I don't know why we got women holding hands. I guess it looks okay. They're what do I call them? Mama bears. Get the mama bears involved. Chad, you got anything going on? Bobby, what's going on out there? Somebody help me. Boy, I'm struggling today. I lost my rhythm.
Hey, Coach. Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, good morning, everybody. The 11th, Saturday the 11th from 9 till 3. We'll be, I think we're pulling pizza together for lunch. Nothing fancy, but it'll be good. And we are doing comms all day. First morning, during the morning, we'll be going over intricately the workings of everyone's radios, the Bofangs, Uesus, so on. The afternoon, we'll be doing the HF radios. Gary and Gene will be showing what the HFs can do across the country, across the world. And we will be also working with makeshift antennas. So, all right, that's it.
Man, I wish I could be there. I really do. I wish I could be there because, you know, I've ordered some of that stuff and got to get it set up and running. We'll figure it out. Thanks, Brett. Jeff Klein, come on in, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. Wednesday night, Pastor Neil Peterson will be here in Knox County area, Apple Valley at the clubhouse. Wednesday night at 7, it's Pastor Neil Peterson for governor of Ohio.
I got to get that clip of him up and running. So again, Neil Peterson is not running for the Republican nomination, folks. He's running for he's going to run as an independent. So we're looking really almost, when's the primary? We're looking almost a full year. Primaries in May or something like that, and then the election's a full year from now. But Neil's a good man of God, and we want to be able to support Neil in his efforts as an independent. Cool. Okay, let's go here. I showed this the other day, friends, after the show was over. But I think it's important for us to understand the times in which we are, live, and know what it is that we need to do. And if you've watched the show at any length of time at all, you know that I'm about action. I'm about action. Last night, there was a big prayer event that took place. Maybe Clay was part of that. I don't know, Clay, if you can come in and fill us in a little bit. A nationwide prayer event to end abortion, I think. Wasn't it, Clay? Is Clay not in here today? Maybe slip him. Anyway, friends, you know me. Prayer powers action. Prayer powers action. We can go pray all we want to. I prayed the Cleveland Browns would score a touchdown last night. They got one. I should have prayed for more, I guess. But the problem was praying to score touchdowns wasn't enough. Baker Mayfield needed to throw it to somebody who could catch it and run it into the end zone. So I could have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that they would score touchdowns. Unless Baker Mayfield threw the ball to somebody or Nick Chubb ran it in, there weren't going to be any touchdowns. That's the reality of it. So we can pray to end abortion. But if somebody doesn't do something, God has to work off of someone else's action, their behavior. And that's one of my big bugaboos, is we do a lot of praying, not a lot of doing. Come on in, Clay. I see you're in here now.
Yeah, Coach, it was awesome. Good. It was very moving. There were some powerful prayers. Some of them were in the area of imprecatory. And Flip Benham was awesome. He had one of the most powerful short prayers. He didn't beat around the bush. He told it like it was. And I think it made I personally think it made a big impact. I think God heard. So it was one of the most powerful television prayer sessions I've seen.
But Clay, I hate to sound sacrilegious. If we don't use it to propel us to action, propel somebody to action, It's going to fall on the ground and die. Somebody has to do something. That's my point. Is there an action point? All of the Christians in America could certainly end abortion. Couldn't we, Larry? Give me a thumbs up. Couldn't Christians in America end abortion? Why do we just pray about it? Now, I'm not making fun of it. I'm not criticizing it. If whoever organized that event, if they called for everybody to show up at their local abortion clinics, would the same people came to pray go show up? I'd say no, they probably wouldn't. Somebody's got to do something. That's why we're in the mess we're in, not just with abortion, but with every aspect of what we see going on around us. People see the problems, but nobody wants to do anything about it. And why don't they want to do anything about it? Because it's going to cost them something. I'm getting my rhythm now. It's going to cost them something. It's going to cost something. Nobody wants to have to pay some. Nobody wants to have to pay a price. Nobody really understands how precious an unborn life is to the Lord. If we understood how valuable and how precious that was to him, we wouldn't just sit around and pray. But we do just sit around and pray. And yes, prayer changes things. But see, I say prayer is like, I use this illustration. It's like during the Gulf War. Before we sent the troops in, you guys remember 44 days or something like that of shock and all? Do you remember that, Jeff, now? Do you remember when we sent those planes in and we bombed 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 and we loosened up the ground? That's called the prayer force. The prayer force did what? It loosened up the ground. And it loosened up the ground so what? So we could send in the SWAT team. And then the SWAT team went in. And they took over areas that had been bombed. And they established strongholds. And they established battle stations. And then what happened? And then we called in the infantry. And then the infantry came in. And when the infantry came in, Iraqis gave up their guns. They just stood up and held up their hands. Anybody with me here? You can't win just with an air force. You can't win with an air force. We need an air force, but you need more than an air force. It's what we've tried to do here since I was in my early 60s. I tell you something. No, that's wrong. Since I was in my late 40s. Trying to get an infantry, a SWAT team, somebody to go, hey, we bombed them. We bombed them, man. They're down. They're beaten. Let's go in. Let's go. We never do. We never do. Come on in, Jeff, now. No, I'm getting my rhythm now. Sorry about the slow start. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. Saturday was Support the Merchant Business Small Businesses Day. And I got out there, a lot of people walking the street. So I preached a simple gospel. And right across the street from me on Kenny Corner was young cheerleaders, like 8 years old to 12. And they were doing their cheers and stuff. And I started preaching and I did the basic, simple gospel and stuff. And then one of the cheerleader guardians came over to me and started yelling at me, and they're blaming that I'm damaging the girls' minds for preaching simple word of God. And then after that, the cheerleaders used witchcraft and new age rah-rahs and stuff coming at me as I go to competition. And then two Satanists came over with their cameras and they started mocking and all kinds of stuff. The cops showed up and stuff this way. I actually had someone there with me named Angel, so I finally had some support. So I tell you, it's also much so much about abortion. It's a sexualizing of the children. And these girls wear these very lustful, sure, exposing outfits at a very young age.
Absolutely.
And we're not stopping pornography. We're not legal, making that illegal again. It's crazy.
Well, it's just, what? Hey, it's just one after another, right? You let them in one door, they come in another door. We understand it. Hey, Jeff. Here's a problem. Here's the solution. You're going to be hated of all men. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Come on in, Joe.
Thanks, Coach. One of my favorite pictures in my mind when we talk about God moving through our action is the parting of the Red Sea. Moses had to raise his staff and believe, and then it all happened, and God did the rest.
Amen. He's a man. He operated off of Joe. Don't miss this either, Joe. Those people, can you imagine those guys in those chariots having the courage to drive in that sea with those walls of water? Hey, that took some courage too, didn't it? That took a little bit of courage.
They believed their God was going to let them win.
That's right. See, so Moses did this and Lord responded to what Moses did, and then the people had to have the faith to walk into the water and walk in.
Yeah, right? Think about it. And but the chariots, they thought that their God was going to keep it open for them, but it sure didn't.
It didn't work out very good for them, did it? Faith without works. Faith without works. Naomi, come on in.
I love that one, Joe. Another one that I've seen is of a man standing in the yard with a shovel, and he's got his hands and his chin on the top of the shovel, and he's praying, God, dig a hole, God, dig a hole.
Yeah.
But God says, you've got to put energy, you've got to put into it. So, yeah, God can do anything, but he asks us to do some of the action.
Faith without works. Come on, man. Come on. Want to end abortion? God says it. I'm for you. Let's go end it. Do we do it? No. Why don't we do it? We're afraid. They might say bad things about us. I might get arrested. I might on and on and on and on and on. The Lord says, go, man. I'm with you always. Go, go, go into all the world. And you go tell them that's murder. You go. And we don't. And then we get together and we pray again. Lord, please, Lord, open a door. He said, I already did. Been open a while. You ain't been through there. Go, 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 go. Larry.
Yeah, following up on what Joe said about Moses, and he had to hold that rod up, and he had to keep his arms in the air. And when he got tired, the people around him didn't pray that give him strength that he could keep it up. They went over there and helped him.
He came and held up his hands.
So prayer without works is useless. Faith Amen. Without works is dead.
Folks, I got something I'm going to – thank you, Lord. I'll get to it here in a second, Lord. I heard you. See, folks, look. I'll be right with you, Craig. So much of Christianity is emotionalism. I'm going to pause there. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up. So much of modern Christianity – is emotionalism. I feel good. You do understand, don't you, that the music at the beginning of the service is to set the mood. Now, we call it praise and worship, but folks, it's really designed to set the mood. Right? Praise stills the avenger. It sets the mood. Does the Lord really, is the Lord really blessed by us coming and singing praise and worship songs? I think he probably is. I think he probably is. But I think he's more blessed if we go rescue a baby led to slaughter. I think he's more blessed by that. I think that's a greater praise to him, that we would actually go, not listen to music that makes me feel better, but go do something that advances the kingdom. That's my boy. That's my boy. Yes. Rather than standing and telling the Lord how much I love him as they continue to destroy everything good in this. And anybody think I'm crazy? I mean, somebody probably thinks I'm crazy. Can anybody prove me wrong? Do both. Do both. Why would you pray and not go? Why would you pray and not go? Lord, save them, Lord. Well, why would you pray that prayer and not go help them get saved? Now, sometimes Michelle and I will pray, Lord, please bring someone across his path. Because why? It's somebody I can't reach. But still, if the Lord brings somebody across his path, that means somebody had to go. God worked through a man. I got saved through a man. I don't know how many prayers my mom prayed. I don't know how many prayers my grandma prayed. I don't know how many prayers my people prayed. I don't know how, but somebody had to tell me. And when somebody told me, then I responded. Folks, prayer, that the idea that prayer changes things, of course it does. But prayer changes things because people move. Prayer empowers action. It is the jet fuel in action, prayer is. It's not like sitting on the runway and revving up your engine. I used to go to the drag strip. I didn't like it, but I'd go, we'd sell some food and stuff out there. Anyway, you guys been to the drag strip? They burn out there. Make all that noise, and they don't go anywhere. Go ahead, Craig.
Here's the thing I think we really need to grasp, okay? Abortion was legalized in 1974.
Never was legalized. Never legalized. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Let me just put you this way. The government felt that it had the authority to override God, okay? And right. You can only provoke God for a certain amount of time until you bring his wrath upon you. I believe that if this goes over 50 years, or this government keeps endorsing this, it has unleashed the wrath of God against it with his justice and righteousness. And if you go to, you know, you were in Hebrews, and I was just reading a little bit. If you go to chapter 3, verse 8, it says, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. They're talking about when, you know, this nation, you know, was basically going against God after he rescued them. He says, and when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works for 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not shown my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. See, they provoked the Lord after he did miraculous things. And I believe our country is provoking God with the government making errors.
Okay, but Craig, why are we provoking God? Because we are not salt and light.
Correct.
We are not following his commission to go and tell, go and teach. We're not following that. We're remaining silent. You can lay in your prayer closet all day long. Somebody's got to go do it. Somebody has got to go do whatever you're praying for. Somebody has to go do. Silver, come on in.
I always like to look at the abortion issue, and Craig, it was 1973, January 22nd. From a financial standpoint, okay, what have we got now? 70 million or so less taxpayers. Okay, why are we raising prices? All of this is because of that. Okay, and if we look at from the standpoint of just 40 million taxpayers in the system, okay, what does that do to the government? That makes them happy. Look at all that money they're making, okay? Abortion is the ultimate, in to me, evil.
So, Joe, think about this. What if COVID is evil and it's going to eliminate everybody over the age of 70? What kind of impact is that going to have on America? Well, our heritage, which we have not passed on to our children and grandchildren. I would think most of you would agree that the older generation, baby boomers and above, we were probably far more Christian than our grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Probably our children. So could COVID have been unleashed to get rid of us old gray hairs who still believe in Jesus and right and wrong? And I don't know, man.
It's a war.
It's a war. And those of us who can't even hardly get around
act like it's a war and be soldiers.
If we've got to be soldiers. We've got to act like a war and be soldiers. Pull up Matt Truella for me, Spence. I showed this yesterday, Friday, in the after show, but I think it's worthy of showing it again. Pastor Matt Truella, you guys know him, the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. I listened to this again this morning. And folks, I want you to understand, this is what's going on. Please listen to this. As things are being torn down, some of us are building. Did you hear what I said? As many things are being torn down, many of us are building.
Amen.
That's the point of Matt's 4-minute talk here. Go and play it, Jared. All right, Spencer.
The third part of Christian resistance is building. Remember Nehemiah, repenting, fighting, building. And it isn't like you do one and then the next. They're all intermingled. It's ongoing, all three. Listen, in the midst of God's judgment, he is already building. God is building during his judgment. Many people think, well, after the judgment's over, then we can build. No. God is building already while the judgment is in the land. For instance, he's judging the form of Christianity, that's been prevalent in the West and here in America for decades and decades now. And he's replacing it already with a tougher, more biblical form of Christianity that's being built in the midst of the judgment. Here's another area, the medical community. Many doctors and nurses have lost their jobs because they've stood stalwart, resolute against getting the shot. And then on the other side, there's many people who are afraid to go to hospitals, and rightly so. They've seen them for the death camps that they are, afraid to go to their own doctors, seen what they're like. People are being forced to coalesce and work together to build new structures. The Lord is also judging the political realm. Forever, Americans have been fixated on every 4 years dealing with the president, the next Supreme Court justices. What we need to realize is that God is building at the local level, at the county level. People are rushing in to county and local government to make a stand for freedom because they have realized DC is at war with them and the state officials are not going to protect them. So God, in the midst of his judgment, is showing many people how far they have actually wed themselves to the world's thinking and to this world's system of doing things. And they're realizing, I need to look to the scriptures and do right by God. And they're simple things. Things as simple as get married, have children,
yeah,
fight the tyrants, but build for Christ in the earth in the midst of it all. And people are already realizing following God's way is so much better than what this world has taught them to do. So what can look so awful at the moment? You have to understand God is working it for his purposes, for good in the earth. People have often thought the world was coming to an end and they just completely shut down. During World War I, during World War II, during the Great Depression, many people just shut down. The world's over with, they just shut down. But the world went on. And you have to understand this. When God brings his judgment, he's judging the bad things within society. And that gives us opportunity to build good things in the midst of society. And understand, far more judgment is coming upon this nation. I've seen very little repentance. Things are going to have to get worse before they get better. And how just is God's judgment? Think of it. For nearly 50 years, Americans and American Christians have sat by while the helpless preborn are murdered, while their bodies are attacked. And now the Lord is using the tyrants to attack our bodies. We didn't defend their bodies, so now our bodies are being assaulted by the state. This is a time of God's judgment upon the land. We need to draw close to him and do right by him. Good news to all of you out there. The doctrine of the lesser magistrate continues to grow by leaps and bounds, not only in America, but other nations of the world. Join with us in prayer. Join with us in repentance, in fighting, in building. We want to invite you to an evening, November 30th, here in Wisconsin. There's so much material to get to. We're offering this gathering. We hope you're able to come, and if not, that you take time to watch the films of the talks that are produced afterwards.
Freeze that right there.
May Christ be praised.
I love Matt Tuella. Speakers and topics. Folks, these are action. This is being held in Wisconsin. Some of you up there, maybe you can get to it. It probably doesn't have a whole lot with a lot of us. Matt Tuella is going to talk about the authority of a county. Teach people politics is local. Pastor Gary Carlson is going to talk about the duties of elders in the face of a tyrant government. Folks, this is edgy, huh? This ain't build a church time. This ain't happy, Pastor Happy Face. Gordon Donaldson, D.O., is building Christian medical structures. Mike Brabo, the fragile food supply and food for life. Paul Doerr, confronting and defunding government schools. Pastor Jason Storms, freedom, bravery, and firearms. Lexington's and lessons for today. Folks, the Lord is building something as everything else appears to be falling apart. You see that? Do you recognize that? And that's
Coach,
that's what we need to do. Yeah, Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, yeah, he does say that those videos will be available for viewing at a later date.
But thanks, Glenn. But it's folks, this is action oriented. This isn't a prayer gathering. This is action oriented, training people, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you have any idea how many Christians, maybe even watching right now, don't get this at all? They don't understand this at all. They don't understand that this is the expansion of the kingdom of God. This is the gospel. They don't understand that. That's the battle we're fighting. Our battle's not against the wicked rulers. Right now, our battle's internal. Who are we? What are we about? Are we the men of Issachar who understand the times in which we live and know what it is that we need to do? Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, what Matt Twello was saying there about God's judgment is on the evil and the bad things that are being done and going on. But I believe there's scripture to support that it's also on those who enable those things to happen. It's on those who celebrate those things happening, and it's on those who tolerate those things happening. Who judgment doesn't fall on is those who resist the evil that's happening.
That's right, Larry. For us to know to do good and not to do it, to us it is sin, right? I mean, on and on and on it goes. And as a reformation, I believe there's a real actual reformation taking place in Christianity. It's happening in front of us right now. What did I want you to pull up? Go ahead, Jeff, while I'm looking what I want to see next.
Well, Coach, I shared with a few people last night. That's what Pastor Bill's sermon was yesterday. The call to accountability. And he's talking, we're in a war. And in a war, there's casualties. And buddy, he hammered it yesterday. I'm sure there's some people didn't like that message. But he said, did you think 2 years ago that you were actually going to be made to take a jab and you're going to lose your job? He said, it's time to stand. And he went through this thing, just the demonic realm, the spiritual war we're in. It is time, buddy. He turned it loose.
We're already at war. We're already at war. We just haven't been a part of war. Okay, so hang on, Craig. I see you. Just a second. Go down to jab is murder. The jab is murder. Now, people won't even bring this up because they don't want to have the arguments. They don't want to have the arguments. They want to be seen as nice Christians. This is Dr. Vernon Coleman, November 22nd, the day Kennedy was shot. He said, finally, medical proof, the jab is murder. Now, is anybody going to say this? Are our doctors going to say this? Are we going to say this? Are our pastors going to recognize it yet? Are we going to be salt, light? Are we going to compromise? Going to keep our mouths shut? Going to be tolerant? Going to be diverse? Going to let everybody, your body, your choice? Is that what it is? What does Dr. Coleman say? You can play it at 1.5 speed. I think we can get okay with it. Here we go.
It's the 22nd of November, 2021, and this is the moment when the jabbing has to stop. A couple of hours ago, Darren Smith, the editor of the excellent Light paper, sent me a paper from the medical journal Circulation, which proves that the COVID-19 jabbing experiment has to stop today. I believe that any doctor or nurse who gives one of the mRNA COVID jabs after today will in due course be struck off the appropriate register and arrested. The journal Circulation is a well-respected publication. It's 71 years old, its articles are peer-reviewed, and in one survey it was rated the world's number one journal in the cardiac and cardiovascular system category. I'm going to quote the final sentence of the abstract which appears at the beginning of the article. This is all I, you, or anyone else needs to know. Open quotes. We conclude that the mRNA vaccine dramatically increases inflammation on the endothelium and T-cell infiltration of cardiac muscle, and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, cardiomyopathy, and other vascular events following vaccination. Close quotes. That's it. That's the death bell for the COVID-19 mRNA jabs. The endothelium is a layer of cells lining blood vessels and lymphatic vessels. T cells are a type of white cell. We always knew these jabs were experimental. My video in December 2020, just under a year ago, warned about these specific risks. I read out a list of possible adverse events published officially by the American government. But now we have proof of the link. The mRNA jab is, remember, known not to stop people catching COVID-19, and it is known not to stop people spreading it. I don't believe anyone disputes these facts now. And yet, vast numbers of deaths and serious injuries have occurred among people who have been jabbed. Look at the item headed, Update, how many are the vaccines killing? The list on my websites. It's a horrific list. Now we have the evidence we need to stop the jabbing programs. In the survey quoted, a total of 566 patients aged 28 to 97 were tested. These were not children, these were adults. The number were equally divided among men and women. Open quotes. At the time of this report, close quotes, says the author, open quotes, these changes persist for at least 2.5 months post second dose of vaccine, close quotes. At the very least, the use of these jabs must stop now, immediately, until more long-term tests are done. If there were any journalists left in the mainstream media, this news would be lead item on all TV and radio programs and be on the front pages of all newspapers. Thank heavens for free speech platforms such as BNT, which enable me to bring you this news. I've said all along, for a year, that this jab was an experiment certain to kill and injure. We've always known that to experiment on people without their full consent and understanding, after disclosing all the risks and potential side effects, is a crime. Now the evidence exists that must stop this experiment. If the COVID jab experiment continues after today, then we know for absolute sure that this is not a medical treatment, it's a cull. Please share this video immediately with everyone you know. Thank you.
We know it's not a medical treatment. If it continues one day after this video, we know it's not a medical treatment. That's where we are, friends. That's where we are. And whose job is it to speak the truth? Well, we don't want to offend anybody, right? Come on in, Rochelle, then Craig.
Hey, good morning, team. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up, I had read an article that according to some documents that I think it was in Texas, the FDA had asked the federal judge for 55 years to complete the Freedom of Information Act request for the approval of the Pfizer biotech, what is that one, commodity or whatever. They want 55 years.
They will not be, folks, what Rochelle is telling us is it was just the vaccine in court said they need 55 years to study the effects of the jab. 55 years to study the effects of it. Unbelievable. Craig.
Hey, you know, Coach, going back, and Silver, thank you. Too many numbers bouncing in his head sometimes. But that made me go. That made me go back there and look back in and say, you know, make sure I had the right time and date. But do you know, when I was doing that, and I sent it to you, Coach, the first argument before the Supreme Court of Roe versus Wade, do you know when that happened? December 13th, 1971. We are in the 50th year, and here in December 1st, they're going to hear another argument against it.
Wow.
So what I think the Lord, this is me, is basically saying, you got one more chance. 50 years ago, you screwed up. And he's setting the stage to allow us to hang ourselves if we don't overturn this. And we don't start. That might be the first domino. That's just me.
Amen, right. Craig. Good catch there. It was actually December 11th, 1971, is when it was first argued. Wow, I'm 50 years. Come on in, Naomi. Did you not take your hand down?
No, I'm in again. I was just on Dr. Coleman's website, and I tell you what. I've not read any of his works, but he confirms what I have been saying for the last 15, 20 years about pharmakia and the pharmakia pimps.
Yeah, we know that, right? That oh, my goodness, the enemy's taken over. So, folks, so listen, I want us to think about this. In fact, I'm maybe going to try to do a show on this tomorrow. I'll get you Silver Patriot. I'll get you just a second. Would first century Christians, those who wrote the Bible, would they recognize Christianity today? Would they recognize it? How we've gone from Hebrews 11, those who lived in sheepskins and goatskins, to Joel Osteen and smoke machines. Your best life now. We would do well to go back and study history some. I got an article I don't have time to get to it now. Go back and study histories. What happened to it? Some folks, something happened, especially in the 20th century that radically transformed Christianity from something that never was to something that'll never be. And we are living in the what do you call, the dust of that old time religion. It's just dust on the dustbin of history as this new electronic best life now Christianity floods across the earth. We've lost our savior. It's good for nothing. Looks good, but ultimately it's good for nothing. Come on in, Kevin, then Silver.
Yeah, so Coach, to jump back to the 55-year ruling, okay, I want you to think about this. This wasn't just for them to complete their study. This was for them to release the compiled data. So they have data that they've already compiled on these shots. That's right. Technology, right? So in 55 years, this is the same thing that they did with the JFK papers from the FBI. They sealed them, and they sealed them until whatever date, and they, I think you remember, Trump had put out an order to open them up. So what's behind that? Well, in 55 years, everybody, you know, the crime is exposed, and everybody that's guilty that participated in it is already dead.
That's right.
You're right. You see what I'm saying?
No accountability, man. No accountability.
Yep. And I want to come in on one other point, okay, that something that occurred to me last week, and I haven't heard anybody comment on this fact, all right? We know that these shots, all of them, all caused the blood clotting, okay? And one of the measures that they've taken against that or tried to take against that is to prescribe blood thinners, whether they're using aspirin or whatever it is to try to keep the blood thin down for the first 2.5 to 3 months. Well, right now, we're going into winter time, okay? And anybody that lives in a moderate to northern climate, that includes me, that includes you, Coach, what happens to your blood in the wintertime is it starts to thicken up to keep you warm. This happens every single year. It's the way God designed you. So your blood starts to thicken as the temperature starts to get colder. That's going to happen to people in any sort of a moderate or northern climate, and you're going to see blood clotting go off the chart. That's my prediction.
Come on in, Silver.
Coach, one of the things that Dr. Coleman had said at the end of the video, he called people, what's the word I'm looking for? Call, C-U-L-L.
Call the herd, yes.
And it has a certain meaning, but it also has a slang meaning. And I think that's the one he was using. And that deals with a fool, a gullible person, a dupe.
That'd be us, huh?
Oh, yeah. That he picked that one right on.
Amen.
Is that the new name of the new variant? Moron spelled a different way?
Moronic.
Yeah, but amen. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I'd say, too, with the abortion, it's give them all the, I hate to use this term, but it's giving them the lab rats to experiment on to understand what they can use against us in our own bodies.
They've always been after the seed. Always been after the seed. Hey, don't forget my Brighteon show today at 11. Clay Clark's going to be on with me today. Clay Clark, what's the name of his Wake America tour? He's going to be with me at 11 o'clock. Sorry for the choppy start today. I got my Twix and my tweens twisted. I'll get that whole thing cleaned up for us as well. Hey, folks, man, now's the time. Now's the time. Now is the time. This will be our greatest hour. We got to get engaged. Hey, one more thing real quick. Throw it that right there, folks. Celebrate Freedom. Daggone, I was supposed to talk. I got a minute. Celebrate Freedom Day. January 6, 2022. We are launching that with the ChristianRevolution.net. We will reclaim this day in our local communities, the ChristianRevolution.net. It's time that we stop being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and identifying ourselves as Christians and reclaiming our communities for the cause of Christ. There's church on every corner. Oh, my goodness. Time to wake up. Bless you. See you tomorrow.